Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness. It's just so weird, isn't it? Do people say stuff like that?
I apologize more.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Not interested in the lightning rod, nor am I all that interested in the lightning. It is the cause of the lightning that should cause every single Christian to ask, what is going on out there? This is Wretched Radio. When somebody who's, well, I wouldn't say I'm non-political or apolitical, but I'm not all that political. But when I feel something going on in the political realm, specifically when it involves the Jewish people, when it involves conversations about church and state relations, when it involves moral subjects like racism, I ask myself the question, what's brewing here theologically? And so it is, we're confronted with a real firestorm right now, courtesy of one Nick Fuentes. You're not familiar with him? Well, don't know where you've been, because even I am familiar with this fellow, social media maven, who is having a very powerful influence on what we would call the political far right. He's the lightning rod. The lightning, I think, are all of the issues that he is causing to bring to all of our attention. But I want to ask the question, what's causing this? What's going on behind this? If you haven't been following the Nick Fuentes story, I think that it is worthy of our consideration, not because it's a political issue as much as I believe it's a theological issue. To help us sort this, I need help. Did I just say that out loud? I'm a talk show host. I need help. Why? Because I've got both feet pretty much in the theological world, and I just kind of look over into the political realm. I'm kind of aware, but I am not nearly as knowledgeable on the subject as our very special guest. Perhaps you read her book, Shepherds for Sale, published by our good friends at HarperCollins. It is Megan Basham, who I had the chance to see at the MacArthur Memorial just a couple of months ago. She is, of course, at the Daily Wire, and she is one who understands both of these realms far better than I do. And so I asked Megan to join us to help us understand what's going on in the political landscape so we can understand what is going on theologically so that we as Christians can actually participate in this conversation from a Christian standpoint. Megan, thank you very much for joining us. Congrats on the massive success of your book, Shepherds for Sale. That thing was a juggernaut.
Yeah, it was, you know, for good or ill, it caused a lot of conversation.
Yeah, you were the lightning. You were the lightning rod and the lightning. Yeah, you were definitely it. All right, Megan, for those people who are not initiated in what's happening in Nick Fuentes' world and the fallout that has happened because of this fellow, with people that you certainly know, Ben Shapiro, Tucker Carlson, Megyn Kelly, it seems that there's trouble in paradise on the political right. Set the table for us. What's going on?
Yes. So for those who don't pay close attention and don't know who Nick Fuentes is, he is, I actually hesitate to characterize him as someone on the right because he is for top-down authoritarianism. And I would say that the hallmark of conservatism is that we believe in decentralized power. We believe in individual rights. And someone like a Nick Fuentes is on what you might call the fascist part of the political spectrum. So there's always a debate about whether or not should this person even be put on the right, and I might challenge that. But what we do know is he's not an admirable fellow, let's put it that way. So he's a young influencer. I think he's about 26 years old, maybe. He has a podcast, and the size of the audience of that podcast is one of those things that is, again, debatable. But what he talks about and what he advocates on that podcast is racial partiality, racial hatred. He will make comments. He says they're jokes. His fans say they're jokes. But you joke enough and some truth comes through about being a fan of Hitler, being a fan of Stalin. He thinks the Nazis had it right. He is very anti-Semitic. And he also has strange recommendations regarding things like pornography use and marry. Like he just recently said, well, when I turn 30, I'm going to marry a 16-year-old child bride. And so he will say offensive, bizarre things like
okay,
that.
Okay. Yeah. So he's a lightning rod. And yes. Yet there's lightning is getting attracted to the, who's getting attracted to Nick Fuentes?
Well, and so that is the debate, Todd. So recently, Tucker Carlson did an interview with Nick Fuentes. And I would say before this, Nick Fuentes was, he was someone who was known, but was treated as very hands-off. And I think legitimately so. Tucker Carlson then decided to do an interview with Nick Fuentes. That interview was not what an interview with someone like Nick Fuentes should be. Now, as a journalist, I am someone who says, look, if it is a newsmaker, they are fair game for an interview. I don't criticize interviewing that person. But I watched the interview and it did not include hard-hitting questions. Again and again, Nick Fuentes would say things that were his typical provocative style. And Tucker Carlson did not push on him. He would say things like, I'm a huge fan of Stalin. And Tucker Carlson said, let's come back to this, and never did come back okay. to it.
Now, I've tracked the Tucker Carlson rebuttal to the accusations that it was a softball interview claiming, hey, this is a big deal. What's happening, whether you want to call it far right, the fascist quarter, the Nick Fuentes Center, mm-hmm. it's being followed by a lot of young men. Mm-hmm. And Tucker, his response to the accusations, you kind of biffed it on this one, was to say, hey, I'm not looking to get into a fight. I'm looking to understand this demographic, why it is that a guy like Nick Fuentes is popular at all. That was his excuse. Your take?
Yes. And, you know, I'll be totally transparent that I know Tucker. I consider him a friend. And I disagree with that assessment because I think to understand what's drawing young men to the type of content that Nick Fuentes produces, you do actually have to ask those hard-hitting questions. You have to, when someone says, I'm a big fan of Stalin, there should be a record scratch and we should drill down on that. And we should go, okay, hold on a minute. Talk to me about that. Why are you a fan of Stalin? Why would you say something provocative like that? He murdered, you know, millions and millions of people. Are you a fan of that? And so those should be natural follow-up questions that would help you understand, okay, what are young men thinking these days? Because we shouldn't just approach this as, you know, any thought is legitimate. If they are having deeply unrighteous, sinful thoughts, then let's talk to them about that. And I think part of that interview is to acknowledge that fandom of Stalin or Hitler or Nazism, these are negative things. And to have any sort of moral coherence in the interview, you at least need to acknowledge that.
Do you suppose Tucker, we've seen Tucker, he can go after people with mm-hmm. a Ginsu knife and just carve them up. Why didn't he do that with Nick?
You know, that's a really good question, and I don't know. So, you know, that's maybe one that I need to put to him that I think others have put to him. But the immediate reaction from people like my boss, Ben Shapiro, was no, we are not going to coddle Nazism and anti-Semitism in the conservative movement. And I think that is the right response, even as I acknowledge that there are problems with young men that are driving them to guys like Nick Fuentes.
So let's go there, because mm-hmm. I think this is, from my perspective, this is where the story actually is. We don't know the numbers, but it's a force. Young men, we'll call them Gen Zs, maybe moving a little bit into the millennial generation. They dig this guy. Why? Why would they dig somebody who makes jokes about liking Stalin and Hitler? Because, Megan, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, a guy like that would have just been totally relegated and cast aside as a kook. Why are young men digging him?
Well, that's an important question. And I want to preface my response by saying I am still not totally convinced how big Nick Fuentes' audience is. So Tucker says it's large. I hear other people say it's large. Something that happened on X, the social media platform, just in the last couple of days has sort of thrown into question just how large is Nick Fuentes' audience, because Elon Musk outrolled a new feature where you can see where accounts are based. So it turned out that a lot of these very large Nick Fuentes fan accounts are based in places like Bangladesh, India, Nigeria, Thailand. So there was a question about, okay, how real is this and how much of this is an AstroTurf? So that is something to think about. But at the same time, I do want to say, because I have wondered, okay, where is this coming from? And I asked some pastors that I know pastor large churches. There are conflicting reports about how big Nick Fuentes' audience is. And they have told me, yes, they believe that some of it is AstroTurf, but they also know that young men in their churches are listening to him.
And I want to drill down on that. And so let's leave this as our cliffhanger. We don't know the number, but even if it's two, why in the world are young men somehow drawn to this type of talk, this type of rhetoric, this type of bravado, this type of nationalism, this type of perhaps racism? Megan Basham is our very special guest. If you've never checked out her book, Shepherds for Sale, we'll continue talking not just about the lightning rod, the lightning, but the cause of the lightning next on Wretched Radio.
Every man knows what it's like to fight a battle no one else can see. You wake up, you're determined that today is going to be different. This time, you're going to be stronger than the temptation. But then evening comes, and there you are again, right back where you started. You're making promises to yourself that you already know deep down that you're not going to keep tomorrow. That's what Todd Friel gets into very deeply with his resource, Play the Man. It's available right now as an ebook, an audiobook, and video series only at fortisplus.org.
The hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You know what's crazy? You've got more computing power in your pocket right now than NASA used to send people to the moon. But most of us, well, we're using it to watch cat videos or argue with strangers online. But what if I told you there's a better way? The Fortis Plus app. I'm talking hundreds of hours of biblical content that'll actually make you smarter and more equipped for the battles you're facing every day. Look, you're going to scroll through something today anyway. Why not make it something that actually strengthens your faith? Download the Fortis Plus app right now, wherever it is you download your apps from. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know the feeling. Every morning you wake up and you wonder, how am I going to navigate this weird, crazy, upside-down world with biblical wisdom? And that's exactly why Fortis Institute exists. We're your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. When you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just giving money, you're discipling young men struggling with pornography. You're equipping pastors in small, rural churches. You're preaching the gospel to students who desperately need to hear it. Visit fortisinstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you actually felt something without fear, without shame, without immediately wanting to numb it? If you're living on autopilot, you're not alone. Millions are told the same thing. It's just a chemical imbalance. Hey, take this, you'll be fine. But you're not fine. You're numb. Dr. Greg Gifford gets that, and his new series, Life Without the Numb, is available right now, absolutely free at fortisplus.org. This isn't about ignoring struggles. It's about transformation from the inside out. Here's a question. When's the last time you heard of a ministry making everything free? That's what happened this year at Fortis Institute. For years, we sold our books and our studies, all of our resources, because that's how we kept the lights on. But this year, we closed the warehouse. Everything we produce is now completely free. And here's the opportunity you have right now. Every gift you give through the end of the year is matched. Dollar for dollar match up to $500,000. FortisInstitute.org. Give now and watch your gift double today.
Books of the Bible. It is not certain who the human author of the book of Hebrews was. However, it is certain that the ultimate author is the Holy Spirit. The message of Hebrews is an exhortation to faith in Jesus Christ, the mediator of the new covenant. When you want to see how God foreshadowed and fulfilled the gospel in the Old Testament, look to Hebrews. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Storms a-brewing. This is Wretched Radio. Have you heard the rumblings on social media? People are agog. They're simply agog. Well, everybody is actually because of one Nick Fuentes. This is a young man who is a social media influencer. To some degree, we don't know how vast his reach is. Nevertheless, he's followed by young men who are attracted to what, call it far right. It's not Christian rhetoric. Let's just leave it at that. Making comments about his love for Stalin and Hitler, the sexist things that he says. He's been called a misogynist. I, quite honestly, I've never listened to Nick because I'm not all that interested in Nick per se. I'm interested in his soul. My understanding is he's a professing Roman Catholic. Nevertheless, I'm more interested in why he is such a big deal and why he is causing such a hullabaloo these days. Megan Basham joining us from Daily Wire, from Shepherds for Sale. Megan, we want to drill down on this. Why are young men and why are young Christian men drawn to one Nick Fuentes?
Okay, so I actually want to draw on something that ironically Charlie Kirk said to Tucker Carlson in one of their final interviews. And he talked about how you don't want to feed the grievance of the young men. It's bad to feed a grievance mentality generally, but there are legitimate grievances. There is the fact that young white men in particular have been targeted as public enemy number one for a couple of decades now. So what they have been repeatedly told is that their sexual identity as men and their skin color as whiteness is public enemy number one. So they've been denigrated, and that's gone on for a really long time. And I think we have gotten to the point now where you have a demographic that has been so reviled for so long, they're now identifying with that reviling. If you're going to call me a white racist, if you're going to say that my skin color is privileging me in some way that is unfair, if you're going to denigrate me as, you know, part of my identity, if you're going to have HR departments all over the country who don't want to let me into their schools or don't want to hire me because I'm not the right demographic, eventually that is going to cause some cultural blowback. And I think that has happened. And the difficult thing is we have to say that while acknowledging that it's sin.
Yeah, that's really fascinating. Hey, if you're going to label me that, fine, game on. Then I'll play that role because I'm not concerned about your critique because you've already slandered me enough. That's a fascinating perspective on this. Is a part of it, though, too, in addition to that, Megan, is it just, look, that's enough of this, man. I've had it with all of this. And they just want to fight back.
Yes, I think that is absolutely what's going on. And look, I think there are other economic factors playing into this. When you have a generation of young men, and we know that this is true statistically in sociological research, that they're not dating. They're not asking women out. They're not getting married. They're not having babies. So they're not becoming leaders of households. You have a generation of unmoored young men. And young men unmoored are typically attracted to destructive things. We have seen that throughout history. So
they want a rallying cry. They want to do manly things.
Right.
They're just aimed in the wrong direction. But Megan, there's so many factors and forces that I think are pressing in on young men. You're right. Just the calling all young white heterosexual males the problem. They are the cause for everything bad in America. That message it does start to impact a young man. But I also think though that postmodernism has set men and women against one another because we've just been told it's all about me. And when you think that you're the center of the universe, well, guess what? Everybody else becomes a threat. Everybody else is a danger. And I think in part, men think that women, they're kind of a threat. Women think men are a threat. And we pitted the genders, not just the skin colors, but the genders against one another. Critical race theory, postmodernism is playing a part of that. But I want to dive into, more importantly, the theology. These are young Christian men. that are falling for this. As best you can tell, and you've been prudent in not wanting to give too much credit to Nick Fuentes for his reach, and I appreciate that. Who are these Christian young men? What are we talking about? Are they Roman Catholic, Protestant, Reformed? Who are these young men?
Well, I think to a large degree, you're seeing Catholics and Reformed Christians, I hate to say it, but that is true, who are being attracted to not just Nick Fuentes, but you might call them Nick Fuentes imitators. And those imitators who are cropping up on the right wear the mantle of pastor. And they claim to be pastors. They claim to be leaders of churches. So you're seeing these kind of podcasts and these influencers pop up. Their names aren't as well known, but they're out there. Guys like Joel Webbin, and I forget some of the other names. And so you have this Nick Fuentes impact that's spreading through the church through guys who are not like Nick Fuentes. They actually say, yeah, we're pastors. We're pastoring a church. We're basing this on biblical ideas, though I would say they are extremely twisted biblical ideas. So you brought up the enmity between men and women in this generation. And what's difficult is these guys will start with a strong kernel of truth. And that is that we have a deeply feminized culture where women are dominating, men are denigrated, toxic masculinity, which is, you know, the gift of maleness and masculinity and leadership that we need in our culture has been so denigrated that men feel like they have no place and they have no role. So that's all true. But then what they will do is they will take that kernel of truth and they will exaggerate and magnify it to something like, and I have experienced this personally, women shouldn't have social media platforms because that's teaching in public. So they have gone to this very legalistic, Pharisaical place that is not biblical. So if you'll say, okay, chapter and verse, why can't a woman have a Facebook account or, you know, an Instagram account? They can't answer that, but they will say, for example, that women are not to challenge men on their sin. So just recently, you know, Ali Beth Stuckey gave a speech at a women's conference to other women where she mentioned the problem of male use of pornography, that this is destructive, that it's destroying marriages, it's destroying opportunities to form relationships. And these men, like Nick Fuentes and his imitators, said, you should be in the kitchen baking a pie, no, not rebuking us for okay. our sin.
Okay. All right. So you're saying Reformed circles, not mm-hmm. all Reformed folks,
right.
and Roman Catholic. Now, I want to dive into both of these. We understand that in Reformed circles, there is a growing Christian nationalism as defined more along the lines of not just being patriotic, wanting a Christian America. But on the other side, there are a growing number of Roman Catholics. Is there a Roman Catholic nationalism brewing?
I mean, I would say that there is an arm of Roman Catholicism that is part of that Christian nationalism movement. So, you know, certainly you're seeing that with the return to the Latin Mass. All of the things that I think I wrote about in Shepherds for Sale, the internal battles that are happening within evangelicalism, you see a mirror image of that in Catholicism. So, you know, there you see the Jesuits, who are a very liberal influence, have been for many decades within the Catholic Church. They're pushing for the same kind of things that you see in evangelicalism. They're pushing for women priests. They're pushing for LGBTQ affirmation. And so within Catholicism, you're seeing the same reaction to this liberalization, I think. And in some parts, it's been a healthy reaction and a needed correction. And then you have the overcorrection that has gone way too far.
All right. The young men who are in some way, shape, or form attracted to this bravado, to this tougher talk, to this masculine return sort of language. What is the church not saying to them that is causing them to say, I need to follow that as opposed to I want to follow my Savior? What are we missing in the church in addressing these young men?
So a huge part of this to me is the mainstream church, the mainstream evangelical and Protestantism, which has not given men the role that they should have as leaders. I think that's true, and I think it's real. So when you tell men that their only role as leaders is to serve their wives, that's not actually a leadership role. That's saying, okay, the way that you lead is simply to be your wife's servant. And I don't think that that is the biblical portrait of what male leadership is. And so we have a mainstream church that has not given men the role that is healthy for them, that is biblical for them. And so because of that, that is why I think we have had these extreme reactions. And you have then had these I would say, I'm trying to decide if I want to go as far as wolves in sheep's clothing or if they are just deeply misguided theologically, but they have stepped in and said, we will give you a masculine role. We will tell you that you can lead your nation and your churches and your homes. But when they do that, they are now doing that in an extreme and unbiblical legalistic way. So like I said, to the point where they're going, women should never speak outside the home. They are arguing for things like repealing the 19th Amendment, so women wouldn't have the vote. They're arguing for things like women should not work at all. So what I do, working from home, writing in free time, part time, they would consider that sinful. So that is, to me, where we have, how we got here, is that we had a mainstream church that did not give men the biblical role and the biblical calling that they should have had. And so then we had these counterfeits come in who have created an extreme version of what is healthy masculinity.
Megan Basham, Shepherds for Sale, talking about us, talking about manhood and what perhaps we have been missing as the church, which is allowing and perhaps motivating young men to go looking for something more muscular elsewhere. But methinks she has even more to say about it. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.